Manila in the Philippines, monitors received word of a most ambitious robbery. A resident there returned from a 2-month trip to discover that his house had been stolen. But the thieves couldn't have been all bad. They did leave the building lot. What did Selma Diamond do when someone batted a buttered tennis ball through her hotel window on a recent trip? Hear the answer to this provocative question from Selma herself, 2 minutes from now on Monitor. This is David Wayne, and when I say help, I'm calling for Peter Nero. Thank you. Selma Diamond, writer, comedian, and world traveler, is a regular member of the Monitor family. And whenever she returns home, she checks in to report on her activities. Sometimes, however, her reports are delayed. But they're no less funny for that.
Whenever anybody asks me about going to Europe, I always say go. But not during the tourist season. It's during the tourist season that they really give you a fast shuffle for your money. Believe me, you won't find one hotel ashtray that's worth slipping into your valise to take back home. And it does you little good to reserve the kind of room you want, because when you get there, they give you the kind of room they want. And the kind of room they wanted me to have my last trip over there was really small. When I saw it, I kept thinking, gee, you get larger accommodations in Forest Lawn. And I'm not the only one who was thinking this. It so happens my continental friends had sent flowers to be put in my room when I arrived. And the first morning, the hotel maid came in, saw the flowers surrounding me lying in bed. You know what she did? She sent for a priest. And I want you to know that I was staying at a first-class hotel, so I had my own bath. Now, you've heard of a singing sink? Well, European plumbing being what it is, and European bathrooms with that extra fixture we seem to do without, produced quite a variety of singing. So every morning, in spite of the fact that this was a private bath, I got the feeling I was sharing it with the Harvard Glee Club. Still, I was luckier than the American tourist lady who told me the first morning she went into her bathroom and turned on the hot water faucet, from the sound it made, she thought she had detonated a landmine left over from the German occupation. But I did have a large window overlooking the tennis court, and in spite of the fact that every morning tennis balls came smashing in at me while I was having my continental breakfast, it was fun returning buttered tennis balls.
Selma Diamond is nothing if not a good sport. Manages to maintain her composure in the face of the most unusual circumstances, and she'll continue to share her experiences with us on Monitor from time to time. Next, we spend 2 minutes of Monitor time sharing the latest Vic Damone song, Two of a Kind.
I look into your eyes, and then I know if there was something wrong, your eyes would tell me so. Why try to fight it? You know you can't win. We're meant for each other. You might as well give in. Cause we're two of a kind, two of a kind, you and I. Yes, we're two of a kind, two of a kind, you and I.
Look all around.
Now about the NBC Radio Weekday program that features not two of a kind, but seven different personalities, each with a distinctive point of view. The program emphasis, the personalities, Chet Huntley, Frank Blair, Frank McGee, Arlene Francis, Merrill Muller, Barbara Walters, Bill Cullen. And the subjects covered, well, this Monday, for example, Frank Blair discusses the color problem in sports as it relates to the clubs with private memberships, the tennis clubs, yachting clubs, golf and country clubs. It's provocative listening, one of the many and varied subjects covered every weekday, Monday through Friday, on NBC Radio's Emphasis. And for varied weekend listening, why, just stay where you are, on the Monitor Beacon.
Hello, this is Ed McMahon. Right now, I'd like all of you to get a postcard and a pen and pencil. You got one? All right, go get it just for a second. You have it? All right, now write down your name, your address, your telephone number, and your area code. Put down the area code, even if you live in New York. Finished? All right. Now address that to Fortune Phone, Box 8866, Radio City, Post Office, New York, New York. I'll wait for you. Now you're ready to play the Fortune Phone game with me, Monday through Friday from 10 to 12 on 660 Radio. You better listen, because sooner or later I'll give you a call and you can win prizes and money. So send me that postcard. I've just got to talk with you.
Get tomorrow's weather from an expert meteorologist, Dr. Frank Field, now featured nightly on the 11th Hour News, direct from Channel 4's Weather Central.
Wake up with Big Wilson early in the morning on the conversation station, WNBC, AM and FM, New York.
Once again, David Wayne keeping you company on monitor, and here's the currently popular ballad of the Green Berets, written and sung by Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage taken from the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
Now, a Monitor News special. What has been described as one of the worst storms in history has been raging in the northern plain states. At NBC's affiliate in Duluth, Wisconsin, WDSM, one of their transmitter towers was blown down, but Monitor's news editor Fitzgerald Smith got through for this report from Dick Daly there.
Dick Daly, what's the situation in the Duluth area at the moment?
Well, it has improved considerably since the really bad time yesterday. The second half of the major blizzard, which is being described as the most devastating winter storm ever in Weather Bureau annals here in the upper Midwest, has never really arrived here at the head of the lakes area. Of course, it's been belting the Dakotas and northwestern Minnesota especially hard, but the storm has let up pretty much here at the head of the lakes. The winds are still gusty and some still falling, but the condition has improved considerably now.
Have there been many people marooned, any deaths, and what about rescues?
We've had only one death reported in a storm-connected tragedy. A little boy using a candle in the basement of his home at Duluth Air Base burned up yesterday morning in a storm-connected accident. Of course, many people are semi-marooned around town. I don't think there is anyone who couldn't be evacuated if necessary. Some people, though, are living in remote areas where streets are just not passable, but if necessary, authorities have been able to get in with snow vehicles and the like to get to them. There's been one interesting case where far down on Minnesota Point in Duluth, this is an area that sticks out a finger of land into Lake Superior, an old age home with residents up to 95 years old, many feeble and infirm people, was without any heat because of the widespread power blackout. And two Duluth firemen, along with a policeman, took snow vehicles and traveled these several miles through drifts of 10 and 20 feet, pulling the equipment on toboggans and hooked up a gasoline-powered generator to get their heat going once again. And things are toasty and warm in that situation by this hour.
Well, Minnesota hasn't been affected as seriously as some of the other states, has it?
Not quite as much, at least not the balance of Minnesota. The northwestern part of the state around Crookston, which lies near the North Dakota border, has been very hard hit, but basically Minnesota didn't get belted quite so hard. There, of course, have been at least 10 people dying in storm-connected incidents across the upper Midwest region, and 13 others are reported missing as of this hour. And, of course, authorities fear that once the big cleanup job really begins, they may find others marooned in snow drifts and so on, especially in the wide open areas to the west of us around the Dakota border.
How does this storm compare to others in recent years?
Well, it's they're beginning to describe it now as perhaps the worst in all history. They often talk about the blizzard of 1888, but it's beginning to look like this one that may very possibly surpass that. Just as an example, right here in Duluth, it's being called a million-dollar storm already, both in the expense of cleaning it up, in lost wages for people who couldn't work, in lost business, and the rest of it. And Duluth's only a city of 100,000, so you can imagine that if the loss approaches $1 million here, it's going to be many, many millions across the upper Midwest region.
Well, thank you very much, Dick Daly of NBC affiliate WDSM in Duluth, for this report on the blizzard up in the northwest there and throughout the Middle West.
That was Duluth, Minnesota, of course, not Wisconsin. And that was also Monitor News Editor Fitzgerald Smith. For latest developments in this and other important stories, stay tuned to Monitor and NBC. One of the most widely acclaimed and popular opera stars of the day is Robert Merrill, who is one of those who have dispelled the old notion that an opera singer had to be born in a foreign country or at least have a foreign-sounding name in order to be successful. In addition, Mr. Merrill has proved that an opera star can be a successful author with his new book titled Once More from the Beginning and a successful conversationalist with reporter Jack Eigen in Chicago.
You know, Robert Merrill, the opera for many years, we're all aware of the fact that not only in New York but across the country has always been in the red, never actually in the black. What is the problem? Why can't the opera make money when places like the Metropolitan Opera House, they tell me, are usually packed, the places across the country, and yet they don't make money? What is the problem?
Well, the problem of the Met is that their overhead is much more than the take. Their payroll is fantastic. You see, you have to have an orchestra of almost 150 men. Each man, I think the lowest salary, minimum salary, is $250 a week. The stagehands, they must have over 100 stagehands, and they have tremendous salaries. Artists, ballet of 90 people. So they just do not take in as much money. Their overhead is higher than their take. And unfortunately, they need money every year. The Met probably will be in the red for at least 600 or 700, like that. So I don't think we should discourage that. I think there's a lot of junk on the air. I think they're sometimes listening to too much stuff. But I think that what the parents should do is try to leave them listen to that type of music, but also try to give them a little of the better music, the classics.
And one more question, Robin Merrill. You, of course, sing in many languages. I wonder, do you also speak these languages, or can you only sing in these languages?
I speak Italian fairly well. I never studied the language, but through osmosis, through living with Italians and spending time in Italy, I speak Italian. I don't speak French very well. But I sing in those languages. But I know what I'm singing about, you see. I know every word that I'm singing about.
And the image of the opera star has changed. You know, years ago, when you thought of an opera star, you thought of a very stout man or a stout woman. It was never someone who looks like yourself, a pretty slender guy. The image has changed quite a bit, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think the younger people today that go to the opera want more reality. They don't want a soprano that is dying from TB in La Traviata to be 250 pounds. It just won't look real anymore. So we have today in the Metropolitan artists that are careful of their weight, you see, because people want reality today. Years ago, they would close their eyes, go to the opera, close their eyes, listen to beautiful voices, and they were content. Today, they want to see reality because of movies and television.
You'll find this, ladies and gentlemen, these stories in Robert Merrill's book, Once More from the Beginning. And I want to thank you, Robert Merrill, very much for chatting with us.
Thank you, Jack.
This is Jack Eigen, NBC Chicago, for Monitor.
Alpert's Tijuana Brass playing What Now, My Love, and I'll Tell You What. We've come to the end of the day here at Monitor, but NBC stations coast to coast will continue to keep you company with some fine programming of their own. In Palm Beach, Florida, that station is WQXT. And knowing that we're leaving you in the best of company makes it easier for me to say, this is David Wayne saying so long until next week.
Barbara Walters. Frank McGee, Merrill Muller, and I are heard each weekday on Emphasis on NBC Radio.
Joe Pyne is coming Monday morning at 9 on The Conversation Station, WNBC AM and FM, New York.